Pacifica, Bill Hendrick.
And a very, very pleasant good evening or good morning to you. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Truth is our bitch. We're here at the El Pacifico every night with Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard, and Margaret Gray, and a variety of guests that we will be bringing on with us throughout the evening, and people calling in. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and we're online at philhendryshow.com. We really encourage you to join us at philhendryshow.com. It's when we talk about a subscription site, which is what ours is, it's very difficult, I think, and I appreciate this. I really do. I appreciate people being confused. They're thinking, well, what a radio show? Why that? You know, you need to understand that our site is unlike any other in radio. It's unlike any other really in media. We have an enormous library of radio shows, comedy and satire, that is considered to be, if I do say so myself, among the cutting edge in the history of radio. And so I would really encourage you to get a backstage pass. It's $9.95 a month. It's just,
Well, you know, a lot of people, that's significant.
Yeah, but what? $9.95, all you can do is cut out a donut and everything.
Well, don't tell people that.
Yeah, but let's not characterize people's habits.
You know full well if they cut a donut out.
One donut. Is that what you're saying?
No, I said a donut.
You're saying a donut. You mean more than one donut?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, more than one donut. I don't even think that's going to do it. I don't spend any money on donuts per month. Zero money on donuts.
And you're saying you don't have the $10?
No, I have the I don't need the $10 because I have a...
You don't pay a subscription?
Of course I don't.
Why not?
What do you mean, why not?
Why don't you pay a subscription fee?
Because I own the business. What the hell?
It's like paying Paul to pay Peter.
Would you ask him to watch his language, please?
What do you mean, watch his language?
He's doing something with his Peter.
He said Peter.
I heard what he said. He said something about paying for the.
Yeah, I said paying for the Peter.
He didn't say paying for Peter, or whatever it is. He said Peter paying Paul. Do you know the saying, you pay Paul to pay Peter?
No, I don't.
I don't know it either.
Well, there is such a saying, okay? Just trust me on this, please. Paying Paul, borrowing from Paul to pay Peter, I think is the saying. And that's what Bud's basically saying. That's what I'm saying. Why? I'm going to pull money out of my pocket, give it to my website, and then I'm just taking it back in salary? What the hell is that? Although, you know, I suppose I can, you know, it's one subscription number that we can use when we're talking to advertisers. But nonetheless, go to philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com and enjoy it. You'll love it. You'll be all over it. You'll be all over it like white on rice. All right.
Well, that is such a glorious and glowing advertising slogan. You'll be all over it like white on rice.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good and everything.
Well, I agree with Margaret.
I understand you're joking, but it's almost as if you've draped yourself over it and you're sweating on it. Isn't it?
Not really. It's just, yeah. All right, so welcome to our show, and a number of things to discuss this evening. One of them is Mr. Stephen Bozell coming on the program, I think, in a few minutes. He's going to talk about, Bozell is going to come on here and talk about, it might be having something to do with the South Africa murder charge. This Oscar Pistorius story is bizarre, and he is the, as you know...
Well, he's the paddle foot.
Can we not use paddle foot, please?
Yeah, I told you not to use it.
I'm talking to Phil. I use that term... I'm sorry, Phil. I thought it was funny. It's not funny. It's not satirical or whatever.
No, it's just kind of the paddle foot is kind of... It's you did that, and I don't think it's funny anymore.
Oh, I see. So it's stale.
Yes, it is stale. Yeah.
Jesus.
Well, Margaret... the case against Oscar Pistorius in South Africa took another, or as they say down there, South Africa, is...
But, you know, do it. Let Bud do it.
Let Bud do what?
Not that this is a... Is he going to do the Gandhi thing?
Are you talking about Sammy?
Yeah, let's do it. Gandhi! I want Gandhi! Where's the Sammy that did it?
Yeah, man, you got to admit, that's almost dead on like the guy in the movie.
I don't even know what part of the movie you're talking about. Gandhi, I want Gandhi...
It's when Gandhi is taken from the prison to meet General Smuts, who is the prime minister of, as you said, Phil, South Africa. And I'm having a very hard time believing that name, Smuts. I think that's a Hollywood invention. But nonetheless, when Mr. Gandhi is retrieved from the prison...
Yeah, and...
excuse me. When Mr. Gandhi is retrieved from the prison, then a rather loutish, stocky and very loutish prison guard, comes into the prison, and he's very stocky and in a very loutish way, and he's stocky.
Yeah, and he's loutish.
Yes. And he says, Gandhi, I want Gandhi, which Sammy is it? And I think that's what you just heard is a far better rendering of it than what Bud's doing.
Well, I think Bud is trying to be in character here.
I'm sorry. Phil, I tell you what, let me get some soda water.
Yeah, you get soda water, you're going to be belching more.
You got to belch more.
Well, maybe that's what I want to do.
All right, so Oscar Pistorius...
No, let me do it. Just one more. Gandhi, which Gandhi is it? I want the Sammy.
That ain't what it is. That's not what you did originally.
No, I'm all in. Gandhi, I want Gandhi.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Gandhi, I want Gandhi. Where... What, Sammy?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Gandhi, I want Gandhi. Sammy...
Oh, boy, Bud. You know, there comes a time when you just got to look at a guy. I know you're dumb, but come on, man. You can't remember... Gandhi, I want Gandhi. Which Sammy is it?
Yeah, that's it. Hold on. Gandhi, I want Gandhi. What a Sammy. Where's Sammy is it?
What Sammy is it, man? Not where.
What?
Now you're going to start bawling? Is this what we get? This is the kind of crew that I have, guys that are crying over stupid stuff. The case against Oscar Pistorius took another... Where are you going, man? Getting a handkerchief.
Would you get away from... That's toilet paper that I brought in from home... And
can we please just concentrate here?
I brought that toilet paper in from home, and he's blowing. He's got his nose shoved in it. Oh, God. Lord.
What happened?
Well, look at it, Phil.
Get that out. Well, wait.
It'll blow my nose on it.
Well, don't bring it in here, will you? Just throw it in the garbage.
The point I'm making is I brought that toilet paper in from home. He shoved his nose in it. And look what we've got. It's like some tissue you find under a newly adolescent boy's bed.
Oh, that's just fantastic, Margaret. Some of this, that's just great.
Quit playing it like you're a virgin.
The case against Oscar Pistorius took another astonishing turn on Thursday when the lead detective investigating the case was sacked, which is what they call being fired in South Africa, after being charged with 7 counts of attempted murder. Are you ready for this? This South Africa is almost as interesting as America. It emerged that Hilton Botha, everybody down there is named Botha, but it's kind of like in, if you've ever been to the Cayman Islands, everybody there is named Baden. So it's like one big family in South Africa named Botha. They even had a prime minister named Botha. And in the Cayman Islands, everybody's Baden. Baden this, Baden that. They got the pilot we had on Air Jamaica's name was Baden. And then I saw that jewelry store was Baden Jewelry. Then I saw a marine place, Baden Marine. And then I saw every store, every profession, every doctor, Baden.
No, they're all inbred.
I wouldn't say inbred. I would say that it's a very common last name that it, obviously at some point merges into a singular family tree trunk, if you will.
So that is technically incest.
No, it's not. Not if you go back enough. What happened here, man? I had a little bit of a technical malfeasance. You know, we have to watch what we're hitting around here, Bud. Do you understand when you're hitting buttons and stuff? All right, let me just move on. It emerged that Hilton Botha, who had given an unconvincing performance in the witness stand on Wednesday, and 2 other police officers are accused of drunkenly firing shots at a minibus carrying 7 passengers in October of 2011. The case had previously been dropped, but the charges against Botha were reinstated on Wednesday as he argued before Pretoria Magistrates Court for Pistorius to be denied bail. The long-serving officer is due to appear in court in May. Here's a cop that's arguing before the magistrate, and apparently, according to our good, close, personal friend Dan Northcraft, who did some research on this, Dan's not only an engineer, but he is he's a part-time magistrate in the court system in Medford, and he has thrown a lot of the scum of Medford, Oregon, in prison. Thank you very much, Dan, for your service.
Really?
I'm kidding.
What do you mean you're kidding?
I'm kidding. Are you nuts?
Well, why do you say that?
Because it was funny.
You're not, Dan, he's not throwing any scum.
No, he ain't throwing any scum. Probably, I'm not saying he hasn't dealt with scum, but, you know, I'm not going to discuss it because it might have been quasi-legal. All right, in any event, this guy Botha is one of the arresting officers. He's arguing so that Pistorius is denied bail, and while he's arguing that Pistorius be denied bail, it is brought up that this guy has been charged with attempted murder as a drunken cop. I don't know if they were on duty or not, but they fired shots at a minibus carrying seven passengers in October 2011. That is beyond belief. Both appeared in court. I mean, if I heard about American police officers under the color of authority, I mean, we've seen a lot of police brutality in this country, there's no question. But drunk cops, drunk, uniform drunk, and pulling their weapons and firing at citizens. What? You know.
Well, you know, Mr. They weren't that drunk, but they pulled out fire hoses.
No. I understand that. I know the cops have behaved in a terrible manner. In the case of, you, for instance, when you talk about the civil rights police brutality, those were cops that were under orders. Now, a lot of them, it was brutal, and it was illegal, and it was unconstitutional how they behaved. But they were cops that were told, go in there, take that stick, bust open heads. I'm not forgiving them, okay? What I am saying, though, is that it wasn't like they were drunk and acting independent of any command. They were actually...
Yes, they had a nice, strong command structure of criminality and terrorists.
I don't want to get into this, okay? It's just going to get too...
Well, why not? I think you've opened up this can of worms.
No, I'm not. No. We can talk about it later. Both appeared in court again on Thursday as the prosecution and defense traded blows, if you'll pardon the expression, over what happened on the night... take it easy, bud.
Nah, man.
On the night that Pistorius shot dead his girlfriend, Reva Steenkamp, a decision as to whether to grant Pistorius bail or not is due on Friday. The conduct of the South African police is already a subject of judicial inquiry after officers shot dead 34 striking mine workers at Marikana last year. With the eyes of the world now on the Pistorius case, the National Police Commissioner sought to regain public confidence and quelled fears of a bungled investigation. Ria Piega announced, this is the general of the police, announced that Botha had been removed from the case and replaced with a lieutenant general. They got cats, the police structure down there is all paramilitary-like. And, you know, it seems to me that police forces are subject to the influence of what came before. What is the command structure and what are the rules of the game? And the South African police are obviously they've been influenced and they've been modeled on in some ways the police forces that came before them in South Africa. And this was a society of apartheid. This was a segregated, racially segregated society. So the cops were given certain powers and leeways in enforcing that, for instance, here in America, we wouldn't sit still for. We had to tell a guy to get off a sidewalk or where's your identification, whatever the hell it is. Now, I'm not saying the cops today are like that, but this is the model. And even if you're saying, all right, I don't want to do that anymore.
Well, you're doing news talk now. Is this what you want to do?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, and I've just been told we have to break.
Yeah, see, that's what's called... It's a synchronicity to tell you to stop butchering it.
Yeah, okay, thanks. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, Stephen Bozell joining us here in just a moment from Corona, California, with his thoughts and fears and feelings and his whining. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Woo-hoo!
Something happened today, and we're going to get into a little bit of the detail with Stephen Bozell. Mr. Bozell is a construction contractor from Corona, California, who has not just a business. He's a father. He is a husband and is a contributor of ours on a number of our shows. Mr. Bozell has been with us as we talk about education and as a business owner. He's also talked with us about politics, about taxes. Steve Bozell joins us from Corona, California. Now, I don't know how many of you guys know this, and Steve, you give us the background. The 13th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States abolishes slavery, correct?
Yes, sir, that's exactly correct, yeah.
And Mississippi today officially ratified it.
Yes, sir, that is correct. And this was information, too, that I don't think is generally known.
Not by the American populace at large. Do you think it was something that was sort of known, though, in the state of Mississippi?
Well, I think it depends on who you talk to, and it presents, I think, a very difficult quandary, because for those of us who have struggled in this economy, and I have with my business, and a great many people have with the businesses that they've tried to start and that they've tried to nurture through a very tough economy, this is information that if I'd been living in Mississippi, and I had availed myself of this information, I might have been able, if I were a business owner in Mississippi, I might have been able to use this information to change the fortunes of any economic tide that might occur.
All right, well, let me read this, because I know there's a lot of people scratching their head right now. They say, what are you guys talking about? Mississippi ratified the 13th Amendment. Here is the story, folks. Mississippi officially abolishes slavery, ratifies the 13th Amendment. Can I ask you where you are, Mr. Bozell?
All right. Well, you know, I'm near a generator, Phil. I'm going to move out of the way. We're still pouring cement. We're on a job site here.
Oh, so you're on a construction site now?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Bozell is the owner of a construction company. Yeah, I appreciate that, if you can move a little bit away from that. Mississippi officially abolishes slavery, ratifies the 13th Amendment. Now, get a load of this. Two medical school colleagues, one an immigrant from India, the other a lifelong Mississippian, joined forces to resolve a historical oversight that until this month had never officially been corrected. The oversight was no small one either. On February the 7th of 2013, the state of Mississippi had never submitted the required documentation until February 7th, 2013, the state of Mississippi had never submitted the required documentation to ratify the 13th Amendment, meaning it never officially had abolished slavery. The amendment was adopted in December of 1865 after the necessary three-fourths of the then 36 states voted in favor of ratification. Mississippi, however, was a holdout at the time. State lawmakers were upset that they had not been compensated for the value of their freed slaves. Bud, this got misprinted. We may want to print it off again. So, Steve, that's the background.
Again, it's just as you read it. It was an oversight. The documentation had not been submitted. The individuals in Mississippi, in the person of their legislators, had certain grievances. And as a result of that, Phil, the slavery in the state was officially, and I say officially, it was legal. I'm not saying that is a good state of affairs at all. That's a bad state of affairs. It was legal, and people who, I would imagine, and this is what I had my conversation with Representative Dell, who is a state representative in Mississippi, and also Bob Begare, who is a state senator in Mississippi. I was in a bit of a quandary, because I said to them, if you have legal slavery in your state, you know. And
well, I mean, was the slavery was legal?
Technically, yes, sir. And I said, if you have that, and I told them that I had, in moving my family, we had come to California in 99, and I was involved at that time in getting a construction business up and running. Had I been aware, and again, I want people to understand me very carefully, I don't think that slavery in the least is anything that I would... I'm an American, and I believe in the rights of human beings. But if you're an American, I think that's the first thing you believe in, human rights, and you believe in... You know, we've gone to war.
That's right.
As a country, we've gone to war for people's, you know, for the rights of people. And I believe in that. And I believe in America. I also believe in American law. And I took my family to California to start our business because times were a little bit down in Tennessee, where we're from, Knoxville, Tennessee. I find out that in Mississippi, they had a situation that, and I'm only saying this technically from a business climate standpoint, that was...
You're talking about the economic benefits?
No, sir. No, I don't want to put it that way. I want to put it a different way.
It sounds like you're preparing the ground here, Mr. Bozell, to say that slavery in some way might have benefited your business.
I'm trying to say that this is information during an economic situation that's bad, real bad, that people could have used.
All right, I'll tell you what. We'll get back to you, Stephen Bozell, and you guys as we talk here about Mississippi actually ratifying the anti-slavery amendment, the 13th Amendment, in early February of this year. You ready for that? They've never ratified it. We'll be back in the Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL. Back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Stephen Bozell of Corona, California, as we talk about the 13th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States not being ratified until early February, early this month, in this year, 2013, if you can believe that, in Mississippi. It was not officially ratified in Mississippi. The argument being, therefore, that slavery was still legal in Mississippi. I don't know that that's the case, Mr. Bozell.
Well, why? Why do you say that?
Because... it took three-quarters of the states to ratify the bill that was the amendment. Three-quarters of the states did ratify it. And so does it matter what the other one-quarter of the states does or doesn't do?
Well, you know, you still have to technically, in my opinion, and in what I've read and how I personally would, you know, go about, you know, doing it and the things that I do, you know, you still have to ratify it.
Mr. Bozell, when you say the things that you would do, you're not the governor of the state, and no man can just decide.
I'm not saying that I'd lord it over everyone and be all, here's how it's going to happen, but it makes sense to me. If you don't ratify, and my point is simply this. My point is simply this. I would have appreciated had the state of Mississippi, the Chamber of Commerce of Mississippi, as well as the Chamber of Commerce, United States Chamber of Commerce, given a heads up to business people, especially in that region of the country, who are looking to, get some economic relief. And this is a very touchy area, I know, because you don't want to say that you want slaves. And I don't want to say that I want slaves. And I would never, you know, want that. But at the same time, I've got a family to feed. I've got a business to keep running. And late 90s, things, as the dot-com bubble started to just blow up and just exploded all over. Everybody just got, you know, drenched with it. And I'm a little bit nervous, sir.
You're doing fine, Mr. Bozell. Just slow down. You're saying the dot-com bubble exploded, and so times were bad for some of you, and you decided to move your business, and you would have moved to Mississippi had you known that slavery was legal, because I'm going to have to assume you would have taken advantage of the fact that you could hire slaves. Is that...
That's why I want to put it my way. You're putting it in a way that is going to reflect poorly on me. I would say that if it is legal for however long it's legal, if it is technically legal for however long it's legal in the state of Mississippi, then it would have been, in my opinion, the responsibility. It would have been incumbent on the state of Mississippi Chamber of Commerce, the United States Chamber of Commerce, and other businesses to at least alert business people to the, it's difficult to say this, but to the benefits.
Well, there's no benefits to slavery.
No, yes, sir, I understand that.
Mr. Bozell, and as Phil said it so very well, there's no benefits to slavery, and even if there were benefits to slavery, are you going to be a man in the state of Mississippi who will have slave labor working for him?
Well, it would not have been for a long time.
Who would have slave labor working for him, and you would be taking the public relations hit, okay? Hold on, I'm not done. You'd be taking the public relations hit, all right?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I don't...
Oh, okay, so in other words, so you would be known as the slave-owning businessman.
No, I would not be, because I couldn't be the only one, and I don't want to own slaves. You don't understand. I would have slaves work there.
How would you have slaves work there? How would you go about having a man work for your construction company without being paid?
I didn't say that I wouldn't pay him.
Well, what if he's a slave, he doesn't have to be paid.
I understand that, yeah. But I would certainly provide some compensation.
Well, how much would you pay him?
Well, I mean, I would pay him in ways that he would appreciate. You're obviously, if an individual is a slave and if slavery is legal, then you do have some prerogative, and I would not use those. I'm sure there's a great many who would use some of these punitive measures that that you are legally, you know, you can against a slave, you know, and I would never do it.
Well, what are you talking about? Beating, flogging?
Yeah, well, yes, sir. I would never do anything like that. So I'd say, as a slave, if I was a master, you know, it's a tough thing to say.
Mr. Bozell, this is Margaret Gray. It sounds to me like you're youth. Do you delight in the idea of being a master?
No, ma'am, I do not.
Well, you're talking about if I was the master, I would not this and that.
I'm saying if I was the master of the slaves that I had, I would not engage in flogging them. No, sir. I mean, no, ma'am. And
all right. So I'm supposed to sit here and say, as the judge of the judiciary of Mississippi or the United States government, say, well, Mr. Bozell, technically you're right. You have the right to own slaves or have slave labor, and the fact that you're not beating them, you know, you are a very cool guy. Now,
I didn't say I was a cool guy, Mr. Henry. Let's not get ridiculous.
Well, no, but I'm not. Sorry, but what I'm saying is this is kind of an argument that's been made for many, many centuries, for many, many decades on into this century and beyond, where people have said...
I'm sorry, on into this century and beyond. Now you're into Star Trek.
Yeah, that's what you're talking about futurism now. You're talking about science fiction.
What I meant to say is on to the 20th century and beyond.
Okay, but I mean, then that means we're just... Could be 1960 or something.
All right, are we going to quibble over this?
No, but I mean, what do you mean?
What I mean is, for many, 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 many decades, the attitude has been that there were some slave owners that were kind, that there were slave owners that were benign, that there were slave owners that were sweet and loving, and they treated their slaves like children. They treated them like relatives, that they, you know, the idea that Thomas Jefferson had some loving relationship with Sally Hemings, I think that's one of the greatest... I think that's obscene to say that you can have a consensual relationship with a woman who's a slave. Did she really have any choice?
Well, Mr. Henry, you're talking now about one of the presidents and one of the founders, and this is the point I wanted to make. You're talking about Thomas Jefferson, one of the presidents, one of the founders of America, and now you're saying he was getting his jollies and getting his cookies with a slave.
I didn't say anything about getting his cookies, okay?
Well, I mean, you're basically saying that Jefferson he was some kind of an animal.
Well, I'm just saying he was a man of his time. I'm not saying he was an animal, but he was a man of his times, which meant you could take liberties with slaves, female slaves. Maybe he was a very kind guy. Maybe he didn't... maybe he wasn't rough with her. Maybe he wasn't mean to her. Maybe he let her sleep in the house and let her, you know, use the kitchen. But the fact is... It was against her will. Are you saying that you'd be that kind of a slave owner?
I'm saying that had we been told by the state of Mississippi, and all I'm trying to say, had the people of Mississippi and the state of Mississippi been awake and been conscious and been doing their duty and doing their due diligence.
And their due diligence.
Yes, sir. Their due diligence. Had they done that, I would have been alerted to the fact that I can move my family south to Mississippi, start a business, and if I wanted to, and I'm not saying that I would, I could legally have a slave to do, you know, my bidding or however you want. I don't know what you do.
You don't. That's not what you say. You say, if you have a slave, you don't say he gets to do my bidding.
Well, yeah, you can, because you can make it do anything.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that I wouldn't want to do that, Mr. Henry. I wouldn't do that to a human being, but I would want to have a slave that would do my bidding. And
what does that mean, do your bidding?
If he's a slave, and that would help my business. The overhead comes down when you don't pay them. Mississippi said nothing. The state of California said nothing. Nobody in California said, you know, you're here and welcome to the Golden State, but you missed a, you know, you blew it. You blew it big when you went by Mississippi and headed straight out here, because down there you could have, you know, one of them do your bidding. And I, at that time, I had said to one of the people at the California Chamber of Commerce, I said, do you, and I remember cursing, and my wife said to me, what are you cursing about? I said, because of the the slave situation in Mississippi. We could have had one. And I asked the California Employment Department individual, I said, do you still have what these Chinese that are putting in railroads and sitting on the side of the railroad track with a laundry and all that, you know?
And what were you hoping to, Mr. Bozell, you were hoping to discover or find some period of American history where there are slaves and indentured servants and a feudal system of sorts, and your business would benefit from this.
Well, the fact is, sir, it was legal, and that's what people are not saying. It was legal in the state of Mississippi to have a houseboy or to have a houseboy or have a field boy and have them do the bidding of me, which I'd be the overseer.
And these words you're using, master, overseer, these are very charged. They're very, very, very destructive words. They scare people.
I don't know.
Our number 87. Well, you don't know. I mean, you've read history of the period.
Well, Phil, I think what Mr. Bozell is saying, he doesn't. I don't think any of us like slavery. We're not saying that we want slavery. We're not saying that we want to bring it back. But if there is a economic benefit, okay. Okay, Phil?
Yes, I'm listening to you, Margaret. We got to, you know.
Oh, well, then forget it.
You know, Margaret, because I'm asking you to move along.
Never mind.
Go ahead, Steve.
Go ahead. I mean, I don't have any.
All right, so we're talking with Stephen Bozell about slavery being legal in, believe it or not, in Mississippi up until early February. At least that's what they're claiming. Mississippi did not ratify the 13th Amendment until this very month. And that was, of course, the cornerstone of the movie about Lincoln made by Steven Spielberg with Daniel Day-Lewis. It was about, at the end of the Civil War, it was about Lincoln, President Lincoln, pushing to get the 13th Amendment ratified to get this thing done. And it was an interesting look at the legislative process. 877-876-7445 is the number. Would you mind taking some calls, sir?
I don't know if you'll allow me to.
We would allow you to.
All right.
Okay, 877-876-PHIL. Stephen Bozell with us here as we talk about the 13th Amendment of the United States not ratified by Mississippi until earlier this month. That meant, legally, in the opinion of some, slavery was still legal in Mississippi, and Mr. Bozell and other business people, while not enamored of slavery, certainly would have benefited economically from it. World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Can we get a chocolate milk?
You want a chocolate milk?
Yes, sir.
Well, you're at home.
Oh, that's right.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, online at philhendryshow.com. Stephen Bozell is with us. He is a businessman from Corona, California, as we discussed. Really interesting news story about the 13th Amendment not being ratified by the state of Mississippi. Now, again, we'd have to have a legal expert advise us, but the Constitution calls for three-quarters of the states. At that time, there were 36 states. To ratify a proposed amendment to make it law. One of the things that has to happen is Congress needs to pass it, and then it goes to the state legislators and the state legislatures, and they must ratify that. And you're saying because Mississippi was not one of the ratifying states, you have a right to enslave someone.
Yeah, and again, I do not advocate it, Mr. Henry. I'm not very proud of it. You know, I would not be proud of it. But if you're a businessman and you are looking to find a way out of a dark, dark, very dark and difficult period, which as we began to move into the 21st century, we saw, as I said, the stock market beginning to cave in here and cave in there. A lot of the money was drying up. And I was not given even so much as the opportunity to know that slavery was technically legal. I'm not saying I would have availed myself of it, but they, you know, I just don't know why it is that something in California didn't say anything to me.
What did you think California was going to say?
Well, when we got to California, my wife April looked at these people at the California rest stop. They have these welcome centers, and they go, we go in, we had a glad, they give you orange juice and tell you about you know, how California got, how it happened and everything. And I kept waiting and waiting and waiting, and I kept waiting for them to say, by the way, on coming out here on your left, if you just turned left, you would have gone down to Mississippi and your problems would have been over, you know.
Well, they're not going to say that.
No, yeah, I understand that.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. We're going to go to RC calling us tonight. RC, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, Phil, great show as always. Mr. Bozell.
My name.
His name's Bozell.
I'm sorry, Mr. Bozell.
Slow down, kid. You know, just take it easy.
I'm in a military academy in Aladena, California, sir.
Yes, sir. God bless you.
Well, you say God bless me, but I'm going to fight for America because I do believe, and I always will believe, in the importance of America and the Constitution of it, too. And you wanting to put a man in chains and...
No, sir, I did not say that. No, sir, I did not say that.
You did say that you'd wanted to have had a given the heads up on it. And I'm, you know, as a high school student, technically that's what I am, as well as a military academy cadet, okay? Technically, when you go, you know, I want to get a heads up, and you're talking about people that can't say no, they cannot say no to you, as Mr. Henry was trying to explain, and you've got a lady slave, and you're all, yeah, I want to get a heads up, yeah.
He was not talking about that. He's talking about how...
Well, Mr. Henry, I mean, as a member of a military academy and somebody that wants to make the United States military my life and a citizen's on your... You know, let me tell you something, Mr. Citizen, Mr. Bozell, citizen, sir. I don't fight for slave owners. I fight for free people.
Mr. Sir, excuse me, young man. I'm not saying that I'm a slave. I'm not a slave owner. You know...
Every argument that you're making here on the Phil Hendry Show tonight, in the things that I heard when we were driving back from band practice, and
what band? Are you in the?
You know, I don't want to talk. Yeah, I'm in the marching band for the Bradley Military Academy marching band. We're practicing for the Commandant's Ball that's coming up this spring, and we've got a lot of social events. And I'm going to be out there. I'm going to be in my dress uniform. With some of the young ladies from Mount Jovison's, which is the Young Ladies Academy, and we share a lot of the social events with them, and I'll be in my dress uniform, dancing and going to the punch and the punch bowl, and everything with my hat under my arm, stuff that I've dreamed about my whole life.
Sir, but
just one more thing, and then I'm going to the punch bowl. With a beautiful young lady, and essentially what you've done is you've dropped that, well, there we go, that turd into it. So I'm looking down at something brown, it floats, so I know it's there, and yet I still got to put my punch drink cup, the thing that you used, you know, the punch drink cup?
Your punch glass.
No, it ain't a punch glass. What is it called?
I don't know what he's talking about.
You, all right, never mind.
Well, I gotta still stick it down in there as Mary Lou or whoever the girl is that I decide that I'm going to take, as she looks on over my shoulder smilingly and adoringly, and I'm pulling punch out of a punch bowl with one of your turds floating in it, sir.
No, sir, that is not fair.
Can we clean this up a little bit? I think it's getting a little bit graphic.
Mr. Henry, we're talking about slavery. How much more graphic? Hey, Mr. Citizen Bozell, how much more... Are you telling me that that's too, is it all ooh, on account of your, slavery is ooh to me. Slavery to me is like ooh.
I didn't say ooh, and I'm not saying nothing. Mr. Henry's the one that took exception to it. And
I did take exception to you talking about this turd in a punch bowl, okay?
Well, I mean, that's exactly what it is, Mr. Henry. If Mr. Bo, you know, Mr. Bowman or Mr. Bozell, I'm sorry.
Yeah, my name's Steve Bozell. It's okay. People have often just run right over my name as if it's a dead man in the road, and they've decided to go ahead and roll on through because it's dead. How much more can be done? You know, and...
What?
What are you talking... That's your name, sir. It's not a dead body.
Excuse me. That's my father's name, okay? That's got my father's sweat and blood all over it, my name. So if you want to run it over like it's already dead, go ahead. I'm just going to pick it up, dust it off, bandage it, and, you know, sign and use it. And, you know.
And use it as your name?
Yeah.
Wow.
All right, the sarcasm here is a little thick. What is the point here, R.C.? I understand, I agree with you, that slavery, and it's un-American, and there's nothing that can be said. All right, and I think, Mr. Bozell, you as much as you would like people to believe that you are not you don't support slavery, this was a necessary thing.
Yes, sir, I'm not saying that. I've just wanted the opportunity. And that's what nobody has been giving me the opportunity to do. I just wanted the opportunity to consider slavery.
Yeah, see, right there, that I'd have a really hard time.
Can I just finish what I'm saying here?
Yeah, you gotta finish up, R.C.
Well, whose side are you on, Dickman, anyway? I mean, this citizen here...
All right, hold on for a minute. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show talking with Mr. Stephen Bozell about the fact that the 13th Amendment to the United States had not been ratified by Mississippi. That is the Anti-Slavery Amendment. And that technically slavery was still legal in Mississippi on through the early part of February this month, this year. It's the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, get all dramatic.
What do you mean, get all dramatic?
World famous Phil Hendry Show.
No, I'm not too dramatic. Well, that's the way I wanted to do it.
That's what you sounded like, Mr. Henry, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. And you.
Welcome back, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I'm having a discussion. Margaret, if I asked you where is downtown San Diego and you say to me it's downtown, why wouldn't you expect me?
Well, Phil, it's a little bit of an obvious question.
Jenny, you just say where's downtown. What else can a person say?
You can say where's downtown San Diego. You can say, oh, Phil, it's over near the airport. Or it's, you know...
Over near... Then I would say it's not downtown. It's the part that's over near the airport.
No, you guys don't get it. You know?
No, I don't think you get it. Downtown Los Angeles is not the only desolate and depressing and barren and almost soul-sucking place on Earth. There are other downtown areas that will suck the soul out of anyone. And San Diego is one.
Well, I don't know where downtown San Diego is, so I can't necessarily agree with that. I know downtown L.A. Downtown L.A., I don't think it's soul-sucking, you know.
It pretty much will suck the soul right out of you, you know.
All right, well, let's conclude here with Mr. Bozell. We also have R.C. Collins on with us from Bradley Military Academy.
Can I jump in on this, on what you're discussing?
Go ahead.
I've been a construction contractor in this town now since 1996, and I can tell you we've done some tilt-ups, done business parks, we've done construction, remodeling, condo, done a townhouse. I got a whole townhouse division. We bid some of the biggest commercial jobs in the downtown area on east of the downtown area toward the rail yards and so on. And I'm very familiar with how downtown L.A. is. And it's a place where when you go to work there, for me, because I come from Corona, California, out in the suburbs, I go to work there, and I want to, take a hose and run it off the exhaust of my truck. And as soon as I pull in, it's the first thing I think about doing. And yet I resist it because I know there's great work that can be done down there.
What does that mean?
Are you out of your mind or something, Mr. Bozell? This is R.C. Can I say something, Mr. Henry?
Hold on. You said...
I want to hear from you, but we also want to ask you, are you telling me that you want to commit suicide?
Yeah, that's what you're saying. You're saying because, you know, let me tell you something, Mr. Citizen.
Look, young man, I don't want to be called Mr. Citizen, okay? I'm a little bit older than you, and I've not been in combat, and I've not been on the war, and I've not been in a war, you know, in a war club or in
a war club. It's my military academy, and someday I'm going to fight for the country of America. And meanwhile, what are you doing? You're all, I'm depressed. I'm down near Skid Row. I better run the carbon monoxide into my truck and just end it all. What a fairy.
Hey.
All right, thank you very much, R.C.
Well, this guy's acting like a dick.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Go ahead, Mr. Bozell.
I want to tell you something, Mr. Henry. I like coming on radio shows, and I've been on every radio show that you can think of in this area and also in larger portions. I've been on your show. I've been on a Ken and Bob show. I was on the John and Ken show. I was on Ken and I was on Bob and John show. And when they crossed over, do you remember? I'm talking to a national audience.
No, I don't remember. I don't remember. I know Ken Minyard. I know John. I know. What are you talking about?
What am I talking about? It was when it was Ken and John, and then it was Ken and Bob, and then it was they all mixed. They mingled together.
Didn't they? I think I know what he's saying. Didn't Ken and Bob?
It was Ken and Bob, and then it was John and Ken, and they didn't mingle.
No, you're wrong, because I remember it was Ken and Bob, John and Ken. Then it was John and Bob, and then the two Kens, which was completely stupid. It doesn't matter to me. I mean,
no, you're wrong. You're wrong.
You're saying it didn't happen.
It not only did it not happen, Ken and Ken?
No, that's why I said it.
There wasn't any Bob and John, and there wasn't any Ken and Ken, and we're getting sidetracked. And how did we get into downtown L.A.? Well, I'll tell you guys later. There is a story here about a hotel downtown where they found the water tank where you get your drinking water? Yeah, they found a dead body in it.
Oh, God.
Yeah. All right, so Mr. Bozell, I'm sorry to upset you. So let's conclude here. Are you you're upset? What time is it, by the way? Oh, okay. You are upset that you are we in a new hour here?
Mr. Henry, I want to answer your question, and you sound like you're on LSD.
Yes, we're in a new hour.
Well, why am I talking to this guy?
I don't know.
Hang up on him.
Wait a minute, you can't do...
I didn't... I totally spaced that we're a new hour.
Why did you hang up on the man?
Because I don't want to talk to this guy till the ends of the earth. We're done. Thank you very much, Mr. Bozell. All right, moving along.
Wait a minute, Phil. I'm not saying that I agree with that man, but you can't just hang up on him.
What do you mean I can do anything I want, I can hang up on him. I didn't know that we were in a... I completely spaced on the fact that we were in a new hour. I looked at the clock... We're moving on, man. I got other fish to fry, okay?
What kind?
Well, we've got some grouper. What do you mean, what kind? I've got the news story.
You want me to put this guy back on the air?
What guy?
The man who called back.
What is it with people on the show to keep calling back? Can anybody just say, take no for an answer? I said I'm all done with the guy. Yes, Mr. Bozell.
Mr. Henry, I'll tell you what. I've taken a knee to it. I've had people say, hey, look up there and go ahead and knee it. I've had people push me into the corner of a coffee table, and I walk around with my knees touching for the rest of the day. I've had every kind of insult to the important portions of my emotional life as well as my body, but I've never had anyone say, okay, well, time's up halfway through a sentence and throw me out into the street.
Mr. Bozell, sir, your time expressing your opinion about Mississippi having legal slavery is over. You can take your case to a governmental agency, a judge, a lawyer.
I'm not going to make a big deal out of it now. What I was trying to say is I was shortchanged like a lot of business people is all.
Okay, so you weren't aware that slavery was legal, and you could have had a legal slave, and you didn't. I guess you blew it.
No, see, that's just it. I didn't blow it. How was I supposed to know? Mississippi knew. And
what was Mississippi supposed to put a big sign out there that says slaves legal here? Come on down to Mississippi. It's a great business opportunity.
Well, states are doing it all the time.
Well, that is true, Phil. There are states in this country that spend an enormous amount of money trying to attract business.
Well, what kind of an ad campaign is that going to be?
I don't know.
I don't know either. You could put a sign, Mississippi, slaves. We allow slaves. I don't know.
Well, this is why we're kind of at the end of the road with this discussion. As I said, get a lawyer, discuss it, look at it legally. I don't want to talk about it anymore. I apologize, but we do have to move on. Thank you, Mr. Bozell. Stephen Bozell, ladies and gentlemen.
You just called me Mr. Boo Boo. I just heard you call me Mr. Boo Boo.
You did call him Boo Boo. I just now heard that.
I didn't say Boo Boo. I said Mr. Boo Boo, and I said Mr. Bozell.
Well, you said Mr. Boo Boo.
Yeah, that's Boo Boo.
I did. Goodbye.
Phil, you've got some anger issues.
The only anger issue I have is that people are not listening to what I'm saying. I'm saying I'm done with this guy. Robert, don't put people back on the air.
Well, I thought he was making a good point.
What good point?
He was saying, had Mississippi took out an ad saying, well, I know they won't do it, but... Well, never mind.
Yeah. See, now that you think about it, you realize it's kind of it's jacked up, right?
Yeah.
But you didn't think about it before. You just went ahead and put the guy in the air, and I got to deal with it. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. What happened here when we were on the air and I saw some sort of a warning flash? We are broadcasting, folks, obviously, on our radio network. We also are on our website, philhenryshow.com, where you can get a backstage pass, watch live streaming video of our show on your mobile device, as well as your desktop, a variety of mobile devices, not just your iPhone, but many of your droids. And it's a beautiful thing. You can get access to thousands and thousands and billions and gazillions of hours of online entertainment, full radio shows going back over a decade, almost 5,000 hours, an enormous library, so huge, as a matter of fact, that the standard website hosting companies who were talking all kinds of pie in the sky to it, oh, sure, Mr. Hendry, we can move that over in no time. And when they finally got a hold of the job and looked at it, you should have seen the looks on their faces as every guy blanched white, excused himself, and the vomiting never ended.
You're kidding.
Of course I'm kidding.
Yeah, but they were...
I mean, they were freaked out. There's no question. They were freaked. But we got a great bunch of guys with us. The guys at LEG and our good friends at Bright Cove, who I was cursing their name yesterday just before. Bright Cove is the company, if you are watching our live streaming video, they're the company that provides our video streaming, the Zencoder 4, iPhones and iPads. And maybe you don't know this, folks, but iPhone, Apple, they don't use Flash Media. Flash Media is used by Windows and most every device you can think of. Flash Media, no matter where you are, where you go, it's Flash Media. But Apple, no. They don't want to do that. As a matter of fact, they don't care if it inconveniences and in the words of Slim Pickens in Dr. Strangelove, if it hair-lips everyone on Bear Creek, they don't care. They don't want...
I think you're going to get phone calls on that.
Yeah, that's kind of...
About what?
Well, you said I hair-lip everyone on Bear Creek.
Oh, I was quoting a movie.
Yeah, I don't... Yeah, it's still... It's very, very sensitive when they have these commercials on late at night, Phil, and you're looking at the little children, and they've got faces that... You know, they've got a... They're beautiful children, but they've got the lip. And you are sitting quoting Slim Pickens, who wrote an atomic bomb to Earth... It just doesn't add up to anything good.
All right, well, I'll drop it.
No, don't drop it, but just don't talk about Slim Pickens.
I wasn't talking about Slim Pickens. Nonetheless, join us at philhenryshow.com. That's about all I really wanted to say. Time to break. Time to break. We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Downtown Los Angeles, a hotel downtown L.A., Hotel Cecil, they found a woman's body floating in what? The water tank that everyone drinks out of. Do you love it? And she'd been there for days, and the body had been decomposing, and the people could taste something funny in the water.
Yeah, you put me on.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. But then it's downtown L.A., so... That's why I say, if you're coming out west and you want a vacation in L.A., you don't go downtown. I don't think that anybody did. I think these are residents. We'll talk about it when we come back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth.
Oh, in other words, they were just bums
bitch.
On Skid Row.
The Phil Hendry Show.
Well, that's what you're intimating, Phil.
You know, Margaret, get off of your high horse, okay?
Hollywood Vine.
Yeah, Dan and I were just talking. We're going to talk here about hotel resident disgusted after tourist body found in water tank. Good God. Dan and I were just talking about Hollywood and Vine. Hollywood and Vine. Hollywood. We always heard that growing up. I heard Hollywood and Vine. You know, I grew up in Arcadia, California. It's about 13 miles northeast of L.A., downtown L.A. But you might as well be in another state. I mean, not in another state, but you're in the burbs. And so I grew up listening, you know, Hollywood and Vine, this, that, and something else, man. You go to Hollywood and Vine, it ain't nothing to write home about. Hollywood and Vine is, whatever it is. You know, there's a whole lot of, as George Carlin said, if he had a star on the Walk of Fame, some bum would wind up throwing up on it, you know.
Who said that?
George Carlin.
That was, I know the quote. It was great, when you said Gracie Allen.
What was that, Gracie Allen?
That's what I thought.
What do you mean, Gracie Allen?
Was she the one that was afraid a bum would throw up on her stop?
No, that's not Gracie Allen. That's George Carlin. Why do you say Gracie Allen?
She's a very funny lady.
Sure she was funny. In her era, she's not about to say... that she wasn't one of those... That wasn't the era when stars would say something like that. You imagine that, Gracie Allen? Some bum's going to throw up on... George, some bum will vomit on my star. Now, Gracie...
That is cute. That's a very cute impression, Phil.
Right, anyway... Alvin Taylor, age 68, was disgusted to learn where there was a body in the cistern above the Cecil Hotel that supplied the water he showered and brushed his teeth with. Oh, God. I've been torn up just thinking about it, the 35-year resident of the hotel said. It's scary. Residents are being moved to the Mayfair Hotel nearby until the water is deemed safe, which is expected to be Saturday. This is a residential hotel downtown, folks, and you can tell there's elderly people there. And so we are not talking about the greatest part of town, and downtown L.A. just ain't the greatest part of town. And this hotel, if you see a picture of it, it has this, you know, painted on the side of the building, low daily rates and monthly rates. So you know you're dealing with a very old hotel.
Why is it old?
Because they don't paint that kind of crap on the sides of buildings anymore, you know.
What's that one thing, Elliot Ness for mayor?
What hotel is that?
That's not a hotel. It actually exists in the city of Cleveland, that painted on the side of a building, Elliot Ness for mayor. It was back in the mayoral race in Cleveland back in the day, in the 30s.
Yeah, but a hotel?
No, it wasn't a hotel, bud.
It's the mayor, man. There ain't no hotel.
Yeah, this one is.
Well, it ain't Elliot Ness that's painted on the side of it.
What do you mean Elliot Ness is painted on? You're talking about his name.
Yes.
Phil, you really need a vacation, you know?
Yeah, you're really doing this thing. You're all...
I'm sorry, you do seem like you're uptight.
Let me tell you something. The insomnia kicked in last night, okay?
There we go. I knew it was something. Yay!
Finally get to it.
All right. The insomnia kicked in last night, and I'm telling you, I was wide awake until 1 o'clock this afternoon. I don't know what it is. I was on the phone, and I was talking to people, and, you know, when you get into that groove where you're just... rapping to people. I remember I was talking to one person. I was doing FaceTime with another person, which, Bud, does not mean what you think it means.
Then why do they call it that?
Because the human face looking at someone.
Well, I understand about that, but nowadays, if you say FaceTime, it pretty much leads, it leads to one cistern, you know.
Yeah.
It leads to one cistern. Well, there's a big word.
Ain't that a water bucket?
It's a water tank. So that's kind of what you're probably hearing, Margaret. I apologize if I'm short of temper.
No, there's no need to apologize, Phil. We want you to get your sleep. We want you to get your rest. And if you are tense and uptight, you see, that is no good for anyone, Phil. You simply must get your REM sleep. Do you know what REM sleep is?
Yeah, rapid eye movement.
Yes, that's right. Forget it.
Well, no. I mean, tell me more.
You already know what it is.
Well, I wanted to hear.
I've got to go and get...
You need a bath towel?
No, I don't need a bath towel, thank you.
So what was she going to say? REM sleep. You got to have your REM sleep. Margaret's right, because that's the dreaming state. And if you don't get your dream sleep, you are going to go stark raving mad with an automatic weapon.
Are you serious?
No. No, I'm not serious. See, I'm the kind of guy that jokes so in such an extreme way, I don't blame people for taking me serious. All right. So this poor man, he's 68. He's lived there 35 years, which means he was 33 years old when he moved in there, Mr. Taylor. Alvin Taylor, he was 33 when he moved into the Cecil Hotel downtown. Residents are being moved to the Mayfair. I don't know these hotels. I know downtown. You can see these hotels from the Harbor Freeway as you drive by. You can look and see a lot of these old buildings sprinkled in there. Authorities discovered the body of Alicia Lamb, a 21-year-old Vancouver tourist, inside a water tank on the hotel's roof on Tuesday. A maintenance worker discovered her body after receiving complaints from Cecil residents about low water pressure. Ugh. The residents, many of whom have lived there for years, are required to sign a waiver every time they enter the hotel. Cecil employees declined to provide a copy of the waiver to the Times. They're required to sign a waiver. You know what that means?
No, what's it mean?
It means that it's some kind of a... when you sign a waiver, you're waiving something. Generally, some sort of a you're waiving some protection or right or some status of some kind. Signing a waiver when you go into the hotel.
You talk about, man, your life is in danger. You got to sign a waiver?
That's what it says. The hotel was flushing out its pipes, according to Mr. Taylor. A steady stream of water gushed out from a pipe onto the street in front of the Cecil on Thursday afternoon. The entrance of the lobby was flooding with a bucket and towels sitting on the floor. An autopsy for Lamb was expected to be conducted, said Ed Winter, spokesman for the L.A. County Coroner's. Health officials were also expected to release the results of their tests on the water. Mr. Taylor went on to say, I didn't think anything of it until they found the body. He intends to move back in once the water's cleaned out. I'll just stay somewhere until they fix it. He said he wasn't thinking, and when they find a body in your water, ain't no good, man.
Well, I don't know, man, because, you know, a lot of times the water, like the aqueduct, L.A. Aqueduct.
I was going to say, Robert, the L.A. Aqueduct, they find bodies, they find corpses in it all the time.
Well, I don't know if that's the case.
But they do. And that's the water supply for the entire city of Los Angeles, and they must find a corpse a day in that aqueduct.
What do you mean they find a... Where are the statistics?
Oh, Phil, it stands to reason. It stands to reason. The aqueduct runs through the desert. Don't you think there is ample opportunity in the desert for certain criminal organizations? See where I'm going?
Margaret, where you're going is movie time. It's a TV show. That's what you're doing. You know, well, hey.
Didn't you go on and on and on about some guy they found dead in the aqueduct?
I was talking about that screenwriter that they found in that truck. We'll get more into this, folks, when we come back. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Much more to say about this. And the tourists going downtown. I don't get that. We'll be back. Anderson is joining us here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show from Little Ian is in Inglewood, California right now, where he lives. And Ian lives in Inglewood because it's close to Hollywood Park, and he is a worker in the racing industry here in Southern California and has been for a number of years. And Ian, how are you?
All right, I'm doing all right. I hope you're all right and everyone is doing well. It's always great to talk to you.
And I wanted to bring you on, Ian, because, you know, I've gotten more and more into football, English football, you know.
I was told from late that I know of you, and I know a few people here in the United States who love to watch the English soccer. And we're very happy to have you.
Well, thank you. Ian, a lot of people watch soccer in the United States, and a lot of people don't. And one of the things that's exciting about it for me is this whole relegation thing and promotion thing.
Right.
And tell us a little bit about that.
Well, they English soccer, the different football teams are in different like divisions, and they play in their different divisions. And what they do is if they do good. Or if they're not doing good, you know, they just will either they'll go up the ladder or they go down the ladder, right? So in a season, if your team, like, wins a championship, say, of a champion league, or they win a Division One, or they win a Division Two, or they win a football championship, which is like a lower division from Premier League.
Mm-hmm. So Premier League is the number one division.
Right. Premier League is the number one division. And they also have, like, European Champions League, which was he was talking about that.
Right.
And so all the Premier League teams are the top of the top teams in all of Britain.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the ones that are below that are, like, are champion, or not champion, but football championship.
That's the name of the division below Premier League?
Right. It's called Football Championship.
Football Championship. And what are some of the teams there?
Well, it always changes, you know, because they're going to be relegated, or they're not going to be relegated, or they're going to be promoted, or they're not going to be promoted. And it's like you never know if your team does well, and you hope your team does well, and you root them on, and they still is not good enough, you know, they don't win a match, and they finally lose so many matches, they get relegated, and it's rubbish, really, because then your team is relegated down with the rubbish teams, right?
But what do you mean by rubbish teams?
Well, it's like these teams are third or fourth division down, and it's all rubbish. And it's like,
give me an example of a rubbish team.
Well, like in Premier League right now, they've got three teams that are real rubbish. That's Queen's Park Rangers, Wigan, and Aston Villa.
Queen's Park Rangers, and what's the other one?
I've not seen the standings, but I think it's Wigan, and I think it's Aston Villa. And it's all just a mess, right? It's all just a rubbish situation. So if you're a fan of those teams, it's all rubbish. And
believe me, it's all rubbish.
Well, it's rubbish is what I mean. You're going to root for a team that's rubbish? Is that what you want to root for?
No, not root for rubbish, but you tell you when they're rubbish.
Well, it's the teams you root for was rubbish teams. Is that what you want to root for?
All right, let's not have another argument, okay? What Ian's saying, if the team sucks, it's at the bottom of the heap.
Yeah, it sucks, right? It sucks. And so that Nick gets relegated down to another division, see?
Right, so the three worst teams in Premier League will be relegated down to the next division, which is called Football Championship, correct?
That's right, that's right. And it's like, there's one team.
What about Nottingham Forest?
What about Nottingham Forest? What do you want to know about Nottingham Forest for?
Because I think that's a great team, isn't it?
No, it's Nottingham Forest is rubbish, as I try to tell you. Nottingham Forest is a rubbish team.
Yeah, but a rubbish team. Ain't that Robin Hood?
Yeah, that's where Robin Hood's from.
Robin Hood is rubbish, right? Robin Hood is not exist. He's rubbish. It's Nottingham Forest is rubbish, and Sherwood Forest is rubbish. It's not even Sherwood Forest. It's Nottingham Forest. And no one has ever heard, and no one cares about Robin Hood because he doesn't exist, because he's rubbish.
So Robin Hood doesn't exist. What is it with you guys with Nottingham Forest?
That's Robin Hood.
No, it's not Robin Hood. First of all, Robin Hood, if you want to follow all about Robin Hood and all of that nonsense and all that rubbish, is Sherwood Forest.
Oh, yeah, Sherwood.
Yeah, that's right. It's Sherwood Forest is where Robin Hood was from. And Friar Tuck and all those fancies and all those pranny, fancy pants, pranny posing and puffers. And that's all they did. Day and night, night and day is the puffers. And they sit around a campfire and take each other's pants off.
Let's not go there. Okay, let's keep talking about football, all right?
Right, well, he's bringing up all this, like, Robin Hood. Robin Hood's got nothing to do with football, all right?
I know Robin Hood got nothing to do with football, but you don't think, you're not American to say Sherwood Forest is pretty cool.
Right, well, Americans, the Yanks, they think all kind of thing is cool. All the Yanks do is sit around all day long and think about all this cool, you know, and all this rubbish about fairies and elves and Sherwood Forest and Robin Hood and all this, not, it's just rubbish, you know? And Americans, all the Yanks, sit around saying, oh, I want to go to England, and I want to meet up with like a fairy, or talk to an elf, or something like that. It's not true.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, if I want to go find a fairy, you damn straight I'm going to go to England.
Good one. Yeah, give me five.
Yeah.
Get out of here, give me five.
Well, I know if I want to find a fairy, I have to go far in America. All I have to do is go find you two a lot. Yeah, I found my fairies all right.
Yeah. What's that supposed to mean?
Well, three guesses, the first two don't count. All I have to do, if I want to find a fairy or some fancy damn old puffer or somebody wants to take my pants off, all I have to do is find you lot. And I found myself my fairy, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know what? I don't even care about English football. You know why? Because I don't care.
Right, well, we don't care much for you either, right? You know, I don't care for you, and I don't care for your football either.
All right, okay. Why don't you guys just butt out, okay? I'm talking to Ian.
Yeah, well, he's gay. He doesn't even know Nottingham Forest.
No one cares about Nottingham Forest. No one gives a bloody hell about Nottingham Forest. No one gives a bloody
No one gives one infinitesimal, you know what, for Nottingham Forest. It's a rubbish team, and you're rubbish. You're not all rubbish. All American football fans should be more like Mr. Henry, where you're asking questions and you're finding out about a game.
Yeah, well, you guys really are kind of stupid. If you want to find out about the game, ask questions. Don't sit there going, oh, I want to root for Nottingham Forest and Sherwood Forest because, what's his ass?
Robin Hood, man. You never heard about Robin Hood.
Yes, I have.
Right, well, next thing you know, Mr. Henry, you're going to want to root for a team like Ivanhoe's favorite team. You know what Ivanhoe's favorite team was?
Nuh-uh, what was it?
It doesn't exist because Ivanhoe was rubbish too, right?
All you said about England is all this rubbish.
No, England's great. I love England. I love my country. But everything you're saying is rubbish. And you talk about Ivanhoe. And
you talked about Ivanhoe and everything like that.
I just asked you what's Ivanhoe's favorite football team, and you fell for it like a couple of dumb youngsters. All I'm trying to say is that if you want to follow football proper, then you have to learn a little bit something about it and not sit and act like a stupid bloody fool about it, you know.
All right. Thank you, Ian, and thank you, Bud and Robert. Get out of here, will you?
Want to leave?
No, what I want you to do is shut up. All right, so I just want to ask you one more thing, Ian, and let's not have this argument with these guys. Now, this weekend is a big game between who? Manchester City?
Right, it's Manchester City and it's Chelsea, and it's going to be a very, very important game in Premier League because Manchester City is in second place. Or Chelsea is fourth place, or something like that. I'm not quite sure. But these are two of the better teams, you know, in Premier League. And also, what they're having right now is the Champions League.
All right, now, the Champions League, and this is the thing I was trying to tell Dan, there's like three different leagues going on, right?
It's not like three different leagues. It's more like your team is in three different competitions. Because they've got Premier League, which is the top of the soccer league of all of Great Britain, right?
Okay.
And they've got, FA Cup, right? You know FA Cup?
Well, I've heard of the FA Cup. I always thought that was that's the main championship of English football, right?
Right. That's the main championship. That's the championship of all of England and England and Wales.
England and what?
I said England and Wales.
Never heard of it.
Hey, Bud, shut up, man.
You never heard of Wales, that's right. You probably never heard of New York, probably never heard of Washington.
I've heard of New York and Washington, are you crazy? I've heard of New York. Everybody heard of that. Who ever heard of Wales?
You know about Wales, man? The ones that go swimming down to Mexico. All right, get out of here, both you guys.
I didn't do anything.
Get out of here.
What?
Go on, split. I'm trying to talk to him.
What? I feel for you, Mr. Evans. I sit around there all day long with a couple of dumb, stupid books like that, but I guess that's a price you have to pay, right?
Well, I do have to pay the price. All right, so England and Wales, FA Cup. Now, the FA Cup's interesting because that is a competition that's open to every single team in English football. Am I right?
Well, it's not every single team. I think it's like the top 10 divisions. And so, you got a Premier League, and you got a Championship League and all that. And then, right in the middle of all of that, then they say, okay, you've got to play for FA Cup as well. So then you're playing teams that are like three or four divisions below you or three or four divisions above you.
So that's like, it's almost like the U.S. Open in golf or any open where anybody can play and anybody can win.
Right. FA Cup is anybody can win an FA Cup. And then the other one is the European League, which is the Champions League, and the play over there for the European champion.
And that's when the English teams go and play the European teams.
Right, right. It's all like La Liga, that's a Spain, or Germany, or Greece, or Italy. They've got a lot of different leagues.
And all those teams play in their own leagues, and then they play each other.
Right, right. They play each other for the UEFA Champions League.
Okay, Ian. Good job there, my friend. And thank you for joining us. And you're at Hollywood Park?
No, it's not. Right at Santa Anita. But I'm eating over today. Doing some work for a trainer friend of mine.
And so people know you were a jockey at one time.
Right, I was a jockey.
Were you a jockey in the States?
No, I was a ride in England. And also steeplechase, but also regular thoroughbred race.
Okay. Thanks so much, Ian.
Right, and also one other thing.
If you want to rip the show with Boris, well, guess what? You're not going to be able to rip the show with Boris because there's no such team as Sherwood Forest. The closest you'll get is Nottingham Forest, which sounds like a bunch of puffers anyway, because that's what they are. I wouldn't rip for Nottingham Forest if they was the last football team in the history of the world. A bunch of poofers, and they probably all love to sit around like Friar Tuck and look up under each other's skirts. And
I gotta, you know.
Well, I'm, thank God you cut him off.
He's just going. He's just pissed. He's angry at Robert and Bud. All right, you guys can come in now.
Don't even talk about that. And I didn't do anything.
Yeah, you did. You got us kicked out.
Shut up. When I'm talking and I'm talking to a guest, you guys keep your mouth shut. Otherwise, this is good. There's going to be more of this. You're going to get kicked out until you learn. Do you understand?
No, I said about a guy.
Do you understand?
Yes.
You?
Yeah. Can I say something?
No, Robert's on it. What do you want to say, Robert?
All I said was, have you ever heard of Sherwood Forest? He goes, yeah, that's Robin Hood. And I go, yeah. And he's all, who cares? He's all rubbish and everything like that.
Yeah, that's all he did is call everybody rubbish. So I just said, I defended my rights.
Oh, you defended your rights. What, to be dumb? He's the guy that knows about football, not you clowns, okay? English football, I'm saying. And I want to hear from him. I don't want to hear you guys saying, wow, Nottingham Forest is a really good team. Really? Why? Ain't that where Robin Hood's from?
I don't know.
That's not going to make a good team. All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-8... What time is it? Yeah, oh, God, are we late? 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. More on the downtown hotel with the water, but there's a lot of other stories to get to. After meeting in New York City, the ratings company will roll out a system to measure broadband, Xbox, and in-time iPads. Nielsen is going to try and get into the 21st century before they go out of business. That's basically what we're talking about. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
And Nottingham Forest is where Robin Hood and also elves lived there at one time. There's no elves there now.
Welcome back on the world famous. Excuse me, on the world famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876 Phil. I want to go back over some things that we did cover earlier, but the audience turns over.
What's that mean?
The audience, you get new audience as the hours go by. You know, for us, it's better not read that story again because we already read it. Well, it's not the same people listening now that were listening at the beginning.
What are you talking about? People are they're watching the whole show.
I'm talking about the real world, all right? I'm not talking about we have fans, God bless people that love us, but I'm talking about how the whole thing really breaks out. People who were not here earlier in the show, of which there are many, I want to go over some of the stuff that we just went over. Now, we didn't even finish up this downtown L.A. thing, man, with this dead body in a water tank.
Yeah, what happened? You doing sports, man.
Yes, I thought you were going to bring a whole new sporting feel to things.
Well, guess what? You know, there's some other stuff that I happen to find it more interesting.
You know, that man that said, you say you don't want to do news talk, and now you're doing news talk.
No, I'm doing Phil talk. I'm doing stuff I want to talk about. When was the last time I mentioned Obama? When was the last time I mentioned Republicans? When was the last time I mentioned Democrats?
Just now.
I mean as a topic, okay? By the way, what was Rush Limbaugh upset? Oh, Rush said that he's ashamed of America. I got to hand it to Rush. I mean this. That guy knows how to keep his name out there. He knows how to keep his name. And, of course, the thing of it is, the stuff that he says gets noticed because of who he is. In other words, if it was anybody else saying that, no one would care.
What did he say?
He said he's ashamed of America. For the first time in his life, he's ashamed of this country. He doesn't like this. You know, obviously what's happening, and Russia's making the most out of it, is that the... you know, more and more Americans are not the conservative, shall we say, Americans are not the conservative monolith that a lot of people thought that they were or that we were and that we might have been, say, in the late 80s, early 90s, on through the 90s. Even though we did elect a Democrat president, there was a significant and fiercely... calamitous and opinionated conservative base in America. And it's changing. It isn't that way anymore. People are not as conservative as they were. People are thinking more liberally. People are, if you want to call it that, people are giving things like at least the debate over health care a chance.
Well, I absolutely concur with that, and I'm very happy to see. I just wanted to see if you'd answer correctly, and you did. Very good, Phil.
You want me to shake your hand?
Yes, that's very good. I wanted to see, when I said, well, now, what do you mean?
You didn't know he's going to say. You're making it up.
I'm not. I'll make something up right now. I'll make up. You know what I'm going to make up? I'm going to make up a big wheelbarrow full of cement, and what do you think I'm going to do with that?
You can't threaten me.
Yeah, really?
All right, watch it. You're going to make up cement. What are you going to do?
I'll stick his feet in it. I'll put your head in it. Ask me what I'm going to do.
Margaret.
Well, I don't like the questions.
All right. Getting back to the downtown situation, that's very unfortunate. Tourism downtown, I don't get it. I mean, if you are looking to stay somewhere, El Cheapo, and I get it. I mean, I get the El Cheapo thing. There are El Cheapo places that are closer to, like, tourista places, man. I don't know why anybody wants to stay downtown. There's only a couple of things, like the Music Center to see, and there's the...
What about that one sandwich place?
What do you mean, one sandwich place?
Felipe's.
Yeah, but nobody's coming in from Vancouver to go to Felipe's for a French dip sandwich.
Well, you don't know. I mean, maybe it's famous.
I don't think so. There's Chinatown, big deal. Felipe's, big wow. The Warehouse District, who cares? That's where people live. Little Tokyo.
Well, now, Little Tokyo, what about that? That's exciting.
Yeah, that's, oh, yeah. Woo! That's great.
You are a cynic.
You don't like Asian people.
This is not got what we're talking about, guys. What I'm saying is this. You got to do your research, and I think if you want to go to any city, you want to know where things are. Now, you know, as I said, I was on a train. I was coming in from Arizona once. I was about 25, 26 years old. We've been out in Phoenix. I don't know, screwing around. Probably went out there and partied and decided to take the train back. I mean, that's, you know, that was the kind of guy that I was. Oh, hey, they got a club car, man. We can go in there and get hammered all the way back to L.A., and that's probably what I did. But we met a guy there, and he was an English citizen, an Englishman, and he said, I'm going to Los Angeles. I'm going to do some tour. You know, I'm a tourist. He was traveling the country by train as a tourist. And I'll continue the story here. I'll continue the story into the next hour is what I'll do.
There you go again. Will you spit one story out in total, Phil?
I'll work at my own speed. Thank you. We'll be right back, folks. Stick around. World famous Phil Henry Show. Stick around for my train story.
Train story?
Never mind. Stick around for the story. Phil Henry Show. Talk about train. Turn the mic off. On a train.
Phil, I'm in the bathroom. I need to do this. Is there toilet paper or do I use another bath towel?
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And truth is our bitch, Phil Henry here, along with Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard, Margaret Gray, and a host of guests and quasi-guests and real, real strange, just some strange stuff going on around here. We're online at philhenryshow.com. That's the worldwide, international, intergalactic headquarters of our radio show. And with a backstage pass, that is what we call a subscription. You have access to more radio material, more good quality, fantastic, classic radio material than you will ever get anywhere else, okay? There's a reason why some radio websites are free, folks. Let me just give it to you straight. And there's a reason why we have a subscription to our site, and that is because we have first-generation, high-quality, and an extensive library of our show. So join us over there at philhenryshow.com. Listen for our podcast. We had a podcast drop today. That's what they call it, dropping, you know.
I think it sounds negative. If you say our podcast dropped, it sounds like it's dropping.
Yeah, it sounds like it's dropping in the ratings and nobody wants it.
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's what they say. So episode 129 dropped. It is, I think it was Don Berman talking about, oh, I know what it was. It was bowling alleys. It was that report that Don Berman did where they, and he, this, I'm quoting him, they ripped the lid off of the bowling shoes controversy.
What?
Yeah.
Well, what? This better not be what I think it is. He is so vulgar, and he's such, he's so bad at what he does.
Well, Margaret, he claims to have won Emmys, and...
Well, there's the key word, claims.
Well, he claims to have won Emmys, and they're a very popular news department there. They work very hard. But apparently, they did a report on why it is bowling alleys prominently placed the size, the shoe size, on the back of bowling shoes. Now, you would think... It would be because they want the people who come in to use the bowling alley to know which shoe they want.
Well, no, it's because it's they. That's what they said. They think it's because they people want to know what size their foot is, or they know what size their foot is. They want to find the shoe.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
Well, not really.
Yes, I did. That's exactly what I just said. So the reason why you see that big number 10 or number 11 or number 12 is so that you can see, aha, there's my shoe, that's my size.
But they're getting it from the guy behind the counter, who is generally late teens, early 20s, and may have or may be just getting over a drug problem, and that's where he works. He chain smokes Marlboros. What?
What are you doing? Can I finish?
I'm sorry.
So in any event, you go up to the counter, you ask for your bowling shoe, and the guy says, what size? And according to Don... their news team saw a lot of guys lounging in a very suggestive way, leaning on the counter with one elbow, acting like they're all lists. And what size? I'm a 13. And they're saying it just loud enough so that any woman standing by would hear it. And, you know.
Yeah, he is absolutely vile. He's vulgar.
Hear it in what?
Well, I mean, that's what the people think, or... It's a bit of a, there's no proof, but that people think that a man's shoe size is reflective of his.
Yeah, as I said, he's vulgar and he's vile.
How big is Frank's shoe?
15. Now.
15?
Yeah. Frank is Frank.
Now I know why they call him Frank.
Yeah. Frank.
What? Oh.
Give it five.
Get out of it with the gimme five. All right. So that's the podcast today, 129. Also, the Bobby Dooley podcast. And coming up next is Joel McHale. We have Patty Arquette. That dropped. That's number one of the Bobby Dooley podcast. And then a two-parter with Joel McHale and then Sugar Ray Leonard. And on it goes into the record books, the great Bobby Dooley podcast. All right, in other sports news, I know I was talking about something else. I forget.
You
don't worry about it, okay? So what do we got here? David Hall. David, how you doing?
Hey, Phil, I'm sorry to butt in, but you were talking about something that I found very interesting, and I wanted you to, are you going to finish it? And I know we're on the air, and I know that I shouldn't do this, but are you going to finish what you were saying?
What was I talking about?
I don't know. I don't remember, but it was interesting.
Yeah, it was, Mr. Henry.
Okay, I don't remember what I was talking about.
You don't remember what you were talking. It was fascinating.
Yeah, it was really fascinating.
I don't remember.
What is it with you? You do this more often than I care to remember.
David.
No, hold on for a minute. You start a topic, you go into a commercial break, you come out, you don't continue the topic, you're on to something else. Half of the time, it doesn't bother me because I don't care what it is you're talking about. But this particular time, I wanted to hear what it was you were going to say. And I'm waiting, and you come out of the commercial break, and now you're on to some other baloney, and I, you know...
Other baloney? I'm promoting the show.
All right, you're promoting the show. You're talking about you're talking about a dead body in a water... Somebody who's got a drink of water with a dead body in it. All right, I'm sorry. You know, stuff happens. Meanwhile, I'm waiting for you to really...
I know what it was. It was the guy, the English tourist.
No, was that it?
Yeah.
Well, that's boring.
Yeah, I thought that's what it was. And why did it seem exciting?
I don't know. It just seemed exciting. And now that he says it...
Yeah, maybe now that I'm going to tell the story, now you want to bum me out about it and tell me how lousy it was.
No, it just sounded really good, but now you...
Yeah, that was it. You're right, Phil. I don't care. Turn right here, baby. All I'm saying, turn right here, baby. All I'm saying, Phil, is that I'd like you to finish the story.
Well, I'm about to finish the story. I'm going to finish the story about the English tourist.
The English tourist. Turn right here, baby. Hold on, Phil. Turn right here. Yeah, come on. The English tourist, was that a movie?
No, that was The English Patient.
The English Patient, right. Turn here. The condo's here. Where are you going? I'm with a young lady.
All right, thanks a lot, David, for checking in and, once again, not making any sense.
Come on, Phil, you got a bus bite.
All right, so what I was saying was that I'm on this train, and here's this guy, very nice guy, he's British, and he says, yes, I'm from England, and...
Did he say it like that? Did he say, yes, I'm from England?
No. I don't know how he said it like that.
Well, it makes him sound like he's got his nose up his butt and everything like that. Sorry.
So the guy says, I'm from England, I'm a tourist. Now, I said to the guy, he says, tell me the interesting places in L.A. I go, well, and I start mentioning the usual places, whether it was Hollywood or, I don't know, some of the studios. He says, no. He says, I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in the industrial sections. Now, it just so happens that I love that kind of stuff.
Well, you're saying that because you met a man who said he was into it, and now you want to say you were into it. Are you really?
Yes, I really am. I've ever since I was a kid, I've been fascinated with alleys, rail yards. I don't know why.
Wow, what about when you were a kid?
Yeah, what's that about?
What do you mean, what's that about?
Well, it's a little weird. You were, how old were you?
I was, ever since I was a little kid, probably 6 or 7.
You wanted to hang out in alleys?
Well, what is that supposed to mean?
I don't know, Mr. Ants.
Well, as a woman, I find myself recoiling and buttoning my blouse up a little higher. I just, even though you're only 7, as a woman, I'm putting my hand over my chest. What do you mean, alleys?
Margaret, I didn't want to hang out in alleys in order to attack women. I was 7 years old.
That's got nothing to do with it. That has nothing to do with it at all. I told you about Jason J. Delmonico peeking through the crack in the door while I'm bathing.
All right, I don't want to get into your Oedipal complex problems there at the house.
I'm not saying that, but when you said you like to hang out in alleys and rail yards as a 7-year-old, I instinctively covered my breasts.
Yeah, that's instinctively for a woman to cover her breasts.
Oh, is that right? If a 7-year-old boy talks about rail yards and alleys, then a grown woman instinctively covers her breasts. Is that...
Yeah, pretty much, Mr. Ryan, because you got to understand. You know,
yeah, please explain it to me.
If a kid at 7 is comfortable in an alley, like you said you want to go to an alley?
I didn't say that. When I was a little kid, I used to draw pictures of urban landscapes. I loved alleys. I loved buildings.
See, do you see where my hand is?
Yeah, you're covering your breasts, and you're doing it on purpose.
I am not.
Mr. Henry, what I'm saying, if you are a 7-year-old kid, and you go, man, I want to go down to an alley. Oh, God, how I wish I could be in an alley. And a woman... She hear that. She's going to think.
Yeah, she's going to think you're looking to tap it.
No doubt about it. Now,
will you guys get real for 4 seconds? She's going to think I want to tap it. I love it.
Well, I'm glad you find that funny.
That's the funniest thing I've heard all month. 7 years old, I want to hang out in an alley, so she's going to be afraid I want to tap it?
Yeah, well, go ahead and laugh. Go ahead and laugh, but they find it, you're a little, if you were 7, and you're all over it like white on rice.
Yeah.
All right, you know what, let's take a break, we'll be back.
You always go to a break right when we've got you nailed.
You're not even close to nailing me. You're not even within the same country. That's how far away from nailing me you are. We'll be right back, world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, he doodled bullfighters. What do you want me to tell you?
You kidding me? Any guy that doodled a bullfighter, he's deserved to get his face slapped on principle alone.
Well, I'm just saying, Mr. Ernie, you don't...
What,
What are you talking about, bud? Welcome back, folks. 877-876-PHIL. We're talking about when we were in school as kids, because I was saying, I don't know why, but when I was a little kid, urban things, pictures of buildings, pictures of alleys, and the city life, especially seedy city life, held endless fascination for me. I loved it. You know, I wanted to go places where there were alleys. See, I grew up out west. In California, we don't have alleys. At least in L.A., we don't have alleys like they have great alleys in London, you know, and in New York. I mean, where alleys actually have names. You know, this is Peterson's Alley, you know. San Francisco's got alleys. But and so I don't know why, but I was fascinated by that. And I would draw these buildings, and I would draw alleys and garbage cans. And it's whack, you know. So I'm talking to Bud and these guys.
Well, you're all set now on bullfighting. That's a whole other deal.
Yes, I agree with Bud.
Well, of course you agree with Bud. When do you not agree with Bud?
About 90% of the time. Get you. God, a little touchy, aren't you?
Yeah, Mr. Lamb, she's always agreeing with you.
All right, but the point is, I knew a kid in school, and this kid, we were all in the fifth grade, this kid, he liked to doodle bullfighters. He drew pictures of bullfighters.
Was there any, did you notice, or was there then, now, or whatever, any homoerotic, anything that's homoerotic?
Okay, bud, quit coming off like you're a psychologist, okay?
I'm just saying, okay?
And if I hear that phrase, "just saying," one more time, you know I'm on the warpath about that.
Yeah, what's that about?
What's that about? I'm getting tired of hearing "just saying." I'm just getting sick of it.
Well, people do it. People are saying it. You want to try and change the way that people are. In the meantime, you got a guy doodling a bullfighter, and you don't even want to get into the deeper meaning of it.
What deeper meaning? The kid was doodling bullfighters, and the story is, the nun, my teacher, Sister Anne, walked over there to him, and she said, "Now, what did I tell you about this?" She stood him up, and she slapped him in the face. Now, it, you know, it's a private school, and people do send their kids to private schools to get that little extra added bit of discipline and so on and so forth. So it's not about the fact that she slapped him. It's about the time and the place that she slapped him. She slapped him right in front of the class, and I and the kid started to cry, and I don't blame him. He was humiliated by this nun.
Well, where was she supposed to slap him? Somewhere private? You know what, Eric, after school, let's sneak away somewhere so I can slap you across your face.
Yeah, see?
Come here, bud.
What? Ow! Yow!
Okay. Good?
No.
Okay. There, I just slapped you.
I'm not crying.
I can slap you hard enough to make you cry. Would you like that?
No.
So, I thought it was overkill. I thought that she shouldn't have slapped the kid. And he's just, you know, Charles Schulz. You know, Dan was just telling me that Charles Schulz, the guy that drew Peanuts, he got the hell beat out of him by some nun. Every time he doodled in the margins, every time that he was using, any time that he wasn't paying attention and drawing like the little Charlie Brown characters, this is Charles Schulz. The guy went on to become one of the most famous cartoonists in the world. The nun had come over and just with a knotted rope, and,
oh, man, you're kidding.
Yes, I'm kidding, but...
And she did what? She beat him, right?
Yeah.
And had she done it more effectively, we would have been spared Peanuts. So I don't get what's wrong with that.
Oh, well, you know, I didn't know.
Well, Phil, I think I speak for a lot of... I mean, Peanuts was cute the first, 50 years. God.
So you're saying, in other words, the nun or whatever... Was it a nun?
I don't think it was a nun. Whoever it was that was in charge of the discipline of the class... That Charles Schulz, the late cartoonist, a good man, who overstayed his welcome by about roughly, 30 years.
Well, if he overstayed his welcome, why was he still selling books? Why did they have that whole Charlie Brown, you're a jackass, whatever that was?
Yeah, Charlie Brown, you're...
Charlie, it was the Charlie Brown series.
Right.
What did you want to ask me?
Well, why was it still popular? I mean, people loved it. People loved that. They loved that song. What was it, Robert?
I don't know, man. It's that jazz song.
Right. And so for you to say that the nun should have beat Charles Schulz harder so we would have been spared Peanuts, boy, you wanted Charles Schulz to work for Peanuts. That's what you wanted, see, for him to go out and just create a small, minor, no-nothing cartoon character.
No, I'm saying that if the nun, or whoever it was, if the teacher... if the headmaster or headmistress, okay, if the headmistress had knotted a rope and then soaked it in water, and then and only then...
All right, what are we doing now? Are we coming up with great torture techniques?
No, it's the Miss Gray. She talked about how to be spared a peanut.
Yeah, we don't need that.
What?
He did the shorthand.
I did shorthand. Miss Gray talked about a peanut be spared.
Will you knock it off with the shorthand? We're talking about being spared peanuts? Okay, you don't like peanuts? Fine. Maybe I didn't like peanuts. I don't think a child is deserving of being beaten with a knotted, soaked, wet rope because he's doodling Charlie Brown's head.
If you know something, Phil, I believe in predestination, and I believe that good teachers have an instinct. Here's a teacher in the school district that Charles Schulz was going to. The teacher sees Charles Schulz doodling the head of Charlie Brown. To the teacher and to the generations that see that, it doesn't mean anything. It's the head of what looks like a neurotic child. Now, the teacher sees it, though, as something worse. The teacher sees there the profile of some sort of totalitarian animated nightmare. Something that will take... And so the teacher does what any good teacher would do. She takes a rope, a good, healthy strand of hemp, knots it in six places, soaks it in water.
All right, okay. I get the point, okay?
So you understand what I'm saying?
No, what I hear you saying is some sadistic, twisted, mentally diseased child abuse fantasy. That's what I hear.
How dare you?
That's what you're doing, Ms. Gray, saying on a rope gonna get knotted up.
Yeah, exactly. Knotting up a rope. 877-876, Phil. Let's go on to, we got a couple of phone calls here, some people wanting to talk here. Is that the, you got the same line open there, bud. You're going to have to close that. That's the line of the factory there. Okay. Karen Dovell. Karen, how are you doing?
Oh, Phil, I am enjoying the program. We're on our way back up to Philadelphia. Jerry is up there. We're going to get Jerry's wife, Tammy. I don't know if you know her. Jerry, we are...
No, we did not have her. Can I just say hello? Hey, Mr. Andrews, Jerry Dovell, and we're on our way up. We're going to get Candace, my wife, and she enjoys your program as well. And I want you to know that it's just a blessing, I think a blessing from God himself and from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that you are on the radio. And I mean that very sincerely.
You're very kind, sir. Thank you. Thank you.
All right, can I help?
I wanted to mention to you that you went to a Catholic school. I understand that they're papists. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you are a child in a Catholic school and you're doodling a bullfighter and you are fascinated by capes and toreador pants and you want the freedom to explore that, I think you should be allowed to without having your face flayed, having the skin flayed off of one side of your face by a nun with a knotted rope. I don't think that's right. Now, I mentioned that all over here online to Herb. I'll give it back to Karen now.
Oh, thank you. Phil, you there?
Yeah, I'm listening to Jerry. That was a very interesting, rather liberal point of view.
Well, Phil, we felt really bad. Pull over here, Herb, okay? I feel just joking, Phil. I'm making fun of Margaret.
Yes, I heard that, Karen. And you know what? I think it's tasteless.
Oh, Margaret, why don't you grow up? Just go. Margaret, honey, we love you very much.
I don't believe you.
Well, we do. We love you very much. We love Phil Henry. And we're on our way to Philadelphia. And I hear the music, so I have to go, right?
Well, good of you to check in.
Well, I think we're all agreed, Phil. A little boy who wants to explore his toreador... he wants to explore his attraction to the toreador types. What is wrong with that? We don't see this.
Hi, Phil. It's Herb Dovell.
How you doing, Herb?
Just fine.
We love you, Phil. Thank you very much, dear. And make sure...
All right, we got to take a break. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
That woman is a psychotic, and I find that I'm in danger.
You're not in danger.
Yes, I am. I'm in danger as long as she's alive.
Indeed. Welcome back here. World famous Phil Henry Show. Truth is our bitch. I'm Phil Henry. And again, our website is philhenryshow.com. Our Facebook page is Phil Henry Fans, facebook.com/Phil Henry Fans, PHANS. And we interact with all kinds of people over there, and we have a lot of fun talking to folks, and you know, people remember bits, and they're talking about stuff on the show and just other weird things. Like, and I put up pictures. We did a Throwback Thursday, you know.
Yeah, what Throwback Thursday? What is that?
Well, you put up pictures from the throwback times, right?
Yeah. Well, throwback time. What do you mean?
From olden days.
Yeah, you put up pictures from your past. And I put up a picture. I sent one to John Mason, who is with our with Molotov. They do a lot of the social media for us. And so there's that. And just go over and say hello. But we just posted a picture there just moments ago. If you want to go to the Facebook page, you'll see a picture. It's a live picture of a shot from an iPhone. So I basically took a photograph with my iPhone of our monitor. No, I took the photograph right off the iPhone, is what I'm saying, and posted it so you could see what a great picture it is. President Vladimir Putin's spokesman says Russia will do all it can to persuade the Internet Olympic Committee. Oh, international. What is Internet?
Let me see that. INTE.
Yeah, right here.
Yeah, see, this is...
Can you give me the... What are you guys doing?
Well, you're making crap out of it. We thought we'd try and help.
Don't take it away from me.
It's international, Phil.
Yeah, they cut it off right there, see? See there where they cut it off? And then over here, right...
Bud, would you wash your hands, man?
What?
There's grease streaks on this paper.
Oh, my God.
Bud, wash your hands.
That's not me.
Yes, it is, because I just saw you pointing, and then grease came off. Okay?
Well, it's not that big of a deal.
Yes, it is. It is a big deal. Wash your hands.
Now?
Yes, now. Go.
But there's no soap.
Wash your hands, will you? President Vladimir Putin's spokesman says Russia will do all it can to persuade the International Olympic Committee. What?
No, I've got Bud.
What the hell is... What do you want, Bud?
What do you want me to do for soap? There's Lava soap. There's, Dove. But I don't want to use it on account of it being gay. And then...
Just let him figure it out. If he comes back in here with greasy hand, I could use the Dove, but it's gay.
I'll go help.
Yeah, thank you. According to Russian news reports, Dmitry Peskov says Russia will work with the IOC at all possible speeds and argue against the move to drop wrestling. The IOC's executive board voted to cut wrestling from the 2020 Olympics, angering Russia, whose wrestling teams have won 77 gold medals since the Soviet times. So you can understand. Now, the United States is also against the dropping of wrestling, as is, get this, Iran and Cuba. So the U.S. now finds itself supported by traditional, antagonists. It is the second day in a row that the United States, another proponent of wrestling, has gained support from an unlikely ally. Tuesday was the USA and Iran on the sidelines of a Tehran tournament. U.S. freestyle coach Zeke Jones, speaking to the Associated Press by phone from Tehran, said that officials from 10 of the world's top wrestling countries would meet Wednesday in Iran to discuss how to reverse the IOC's decision. Azerbaijan, Belarus, Bulgaria, Georgia, Iran, Japan, Kazakhstan, the United States, Russia, and Turkey will gather to discuss how to reverse the IOC's decision.
Now, all of those are used to be communists, except for America.
No, not now. No, that's not true. Turkey was not communist. Japan, Iran is,
Well, Iran's the same as communist.
Well, you mean, yeah, okay. I guess you could say it. Iran is a dictatorship, yeah. But the point is that these are also countries that, they're not what I call countries that go out and spend a lot of money on these kinds of things. I mean, they're looking to economize as well as dominate in sports. Wrestling can't be a very expensive sport to support. How many members do you have on a team, number one? How much does equipment cost? It's nothing. We're talking about a singlet, which is the wrestling tight. You're talking about...
What's called?
Singlet. I think that's what it's called.
No, like a piglet or a singlet?
A piglet?
Well, it's the same thing.
No, it ain't the same thing. One's a uniform, the other's a pig. Is it the same thing as a piglet?
Well, I don't. It ain't. It, in other words, it's not. It ain't.
It ain't adding up.
No.
Well, I'm sorry to say, Robert, that's what it's called, man. Maybe we can look it up in the dictionary or something. I don't know. Now I lost my freaking place. I'm gonna kill somebody. I swear to God.
Hold on, no, Phil. I was in the bathroom listening. You were saying that the, hold on, what?
It's Bud.
Oh, will you come on, Bud?
I don't know where the beach towel.
Would you go help him, please?
I gave him the beach towel.
Well, you look upset.
Why wouldn't I be upset? I got a crew that's worthless. This guy doesn't know how to wash his hands. She's wiping her rear end with a beach towel. And you are telling me the goofball stuff of a lifetime here about a singlet and a piglet. I don't know what you're talking about, man. All I will say is that the wrestling controversy is very, very interesting because they have decided, the United States, Russia, all these countries, that they want to keep wrestling. And these are some pretty influential countries. The United States and Russia? Are you kidding? How are you going to say no to those two enormous countries? The United States, our contribution to the Olympics is monetary as well as just our physical participation. But what I was going to say is wrestling is obviously an economical sport. It doesn't cost a lot. There is not a lot in overhead, not a lot in terms of equipment. It's probably right. I don't know why I think it's right up the Russians' alley when it comes to, coaching.
Why do you think that?
I don't know. I don't know why I think that. I think maybe it's because the Russians have done very well with the other martial arts, whether it's boxing or judo. Maybe it's because they come from this kind of salt of the earth, feudal, even worse. Just this almost enslaved state where it is said that the Russian person, just the Russian individual, can put up with so much. They have endurance, you know.
Well, like what? Like when they in a war or something?
Yeah. I mean, they talk about World War II, the Russian World War I, and just the Russians have as who was it that made the comment? Our cursed capacity for suffering was, I think it was Stalin or Khrushchev who said that. Our cursed capacity for suffering, that the Russians are able to suffer. Vladimir Lenin, who said that it was difficult to get Russia out of the First World War, in part because we have this cursed capacity to suffer. So we just kept throwing people into the battle, the Russians, you know, stacks and stacks, hundreds of thousands of dead men, and they just keep coming. So they're kind of gritty and close to the bone, and I wouldn't, you know, they're probably just some badasses, man. What can I tell you? So we'll see whether that says here, we'll be standing arm in arm with Iran, and we'll be standing with Russia, as we will with lots of other countries, said Mitch Hull, the national team's director. Let's get on the line here, Larry Grover, who has often had lots to say about this particular topic and others. Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County. Larry, how are you tonight?
Well, I'm doing all right. I appreciate very much the opportunity to sound off on it.
Larry, what do you think? The United States has said that they're standing arm in arm, shoulder to shoulder with Iran and with Russia.
I think it's a dangerous precedent, and I think it goes to what Rush Limbaugh was talking about, and you referenced it, that he is ashamed of his country, that we are a country that is gradually losing our grip and losing our awareness of who and what we are, and what made us a great country, which was our thirst for freedom, our thirst for human rights, that we would not cooperate or compromise with those privileges and with those rights and the things that we think are important. And now we stand there with a Russian on one side, an Iranian on the other, a Turk, a Belarus. This is not the America that I know. This is not an America that would be comfortable sandwiched in. If you want to call it, just be straight up, this is a America that's the meat in a sandwich, in an unholy sandwich of the Belarus and the Russian.
Well, I mean, look, these are countries, by the way, that are no longer communist. They are they're a version of democracy. They're a competing democracy, to be sure. But I don't think we have to fear the Russians or the Belarusians or whoever these Azerbaijanis. We don't have to fear them as a completely alien system.
Well, maybe we don't. But you're missing my point. The United States has become the meat in an unholy sandwich. All right? And so
what do you mean by the meat in an unholy sandwich?
Well, I was kind of stumbling waiting for you to ask me that, because it doesn't seem like you understand.
Well, Larry, this is Margaret. The meat in an unholy sandwich sounds as if... You're going to get sidetracked. A lot of people are now thinking about America being the meat between two buns.
Well, I'm not going to get sidetracked, Miss Gray. If that's something that that tickles your fancy...
No, I didn't say that. You don't have to be insulting.
All right, but Margaret, you're bringing up something ridiculous now, okay?
No, I'm not bringing up something. He said that America is the meat between two buns. The next thing he's going to say is, and who do you think is buttering those buns?
I did not say anything of the sort. Understand that I'm a father, I'm a husband, well, I was a husband, and I am a father, and I was a husband. It might be that I was a father. I haven't seen my daughters in 6 months because Marcy, as Phil knows, has taken the kids and moved them away, and she has some idea that that I'm mentally deranged. Well, if I'm mentally deranged, why am I not in a hospital? Can either one of you say anything about that, Mr. Henry?
I don't think you're mentally deranged. I think you're a little extreme.
Yes, I think you're very unusual.
I'm very unusual. Well, that almost sounds as if I think I'd rather be mentally deranged.
Why?
Because being called unusual is as disgusting a thing as, well, in any event, my fear is that the United States standing shoulder to shoulder and arm to arm and locked in tight and right in between the bun of Russia and the other bun that, again, I'm using this analogy of the unholy sandwich because I want you to get this, Mr. Henry. We are the only nutrient in two buns, and if you want, you can say that the mustard or the butter is who would be the butter? Let's see.
Why are we getting sidetracked on this? If you're telling me that the United States should not be allied with Russia and Iran.
That right there, that's to me would be the, you're slathering us with Iran. You understand, you have a way, Mr. Henry, of minimizing what people are trying to say in earnest. This is a very important thing for my country to be allied with Russia and Belarus and to be the meat between their buns and the butter. You know something?
I feel this is glorious.
Mother, hold on for a minute. Mother, would you get off the extension?
I want to say hello to Mr. Henry. Mr. Henry, hello. It's Gloria. It's Gloria Grover.
Gloria, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Larry, I have a right to speak on my own phone, Larry.
Mother, I'm doing an interview on the Phil Henry Show, and you're not to pick the extension up.
I will pick up the extension. Phil, Larry has been going on and on about America being meat between two buns. And I said to him, he said, if you don't want people to laugh at you, then you have to stop this.
Mother, I am talking about the freedom of my nation, the country that I live inside of the borders of, and nothing that you can do will ever keep me from talking about it.
Larry, you've been going on and on about who buttered up your buns.
I didn't say my buns. I said we are meat between the bun of Russia and the bun of Belarus.
And when I asked you what kind of meat, what did you say?
I logically said we are wiener-shaped. I didn't... Boy, your own mother, Mr. Henry, when your own mother puts her brain into a glass of sewage every night, just like she does her dentures, mother takes her brain out and puts it into sewage and her teeth out and puts those into the effervescent, the teeth effervescent, whatever it's called. That's what mother does.
No, Larry, I don't. I think you do. And you said that the meat was you said it's wiener-shaped.
I meant knockwurst.
Well, then why did you say knockwurst? Phil, this is phallic.
All right, we got to take a break, okay?
Take your break, Phil, but I want to explore this with you.
All right, just hold on for a minute. I don't think I want to explore anything with her, okay?
Well, I think she's making a point.
Well, isn't that wonderful? Poor Larry is standing there. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show, The Meat's Wiener Shape.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
You may be the laughing stock of the entire radio listening of the...
You're listening to the world famous
And Phil Hendry here on with Larry Grover, and we'll take a phone call, 877-876-PHIL. But we also have Gloria Grover, Larry's mother, is on the line. And the only thing I'd ask, Gloria, again, and you have every right, you made a very good point, you have every right to be on the phone in your own home, is to give us a chance to talk, okay?
Absolutely. I'm very happy to do that, Phil.
All right. Okay, let's go to Steve in Biloxi. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show, Steve.
Hey, Phil, I wanted to say to Mr. Grover, I agree with you. I have followed your newsletter. I get your conservative Kern County newsletter.
Oh, very good.
And I agree very much with your statement, and I think Mr. Hendry is trying to understand. Perhaps it's a very difficult thing to understand. Also, Mr. Hendry may be having some fun at your expense, and I don't think this is the time to do that, sir.
Well, I'm not trying to. I just thought that the analogy of America being in a sandwich...
Well, Phil, it is an absolute perfect analogy.
Well, hold on. Let the caller make his point.
Well, and my point, and I agree with Mr. Grover, it is a perfect analogy. America has constantly been hemmed in. I think we've been surrounded for a great many years by countries, entities, hostile or otherwise, that have hemmed us in and locked us out. And I think to say that we are the meat in a sandwich, I think is a very good analogy. Now, if you or your listeners choose to make that juvenile, because Mr. Grover said it is a wiener-shaped meat, I think what he is saying essentially is we have become a country that is almost for the amusement of people. And the only kind of meat that I know of that you are going to eat, you know, if you go to a fair, you go to a ball game, it's going to be wiener or a hot dog or the only other, I don't want to be crude, but it would be, you know, in intimate relations with your wife, but she'd be the one that's doing most of the...
All right, thank you very much.
Well, what a jip.
What'd you do? Did you hang up on him?
Yes, I hung up on him. He's a moron.
Oh, baby, every time I get someone on my side, what do? You turn me around, tie me to a post, pull my shirt off, spit on your hands, pick up your bullwhip, make sure someone gets a picture of you in your big, high, knee-high boots, and then you go to work on me. You go to work on me like they worked on Denzel Washington in Glory. You work on me like they went to work on Liam Neeson in The Bounty. You go to work.
Well, Phil, I don't think that's fair for you to hang up on him.
Do you not think it's fair? I think it's fair. What do you think?
Yeah, it's fair.
Yeah, I think it's fair.
All right, it was fair.
Good. They go to work on me like they went to work on Denzel Washington in Glory and Liam Neeson in The Bounty.
I don't think anybody...
Yeah, that's a cultural reference that no one's going to get. No one. Do you understand? You know, David Hall and I had this discussion, Phil.
What are you getting upset about?
I'm getting upset with these cultural references that no one gets. Liam Neeson in The Bounty, no one saw the movie.
Margaret.
No, Phil, no one saw that, as good a movie as it may have been. Now we go to Denzel Washington in Glory. Not a bad reference for one that's almost 25 years old. Okay, great. Now,
never mind, you and your belching.
Where's that bath towel?
Over here.
Thank you.
Okay, so that was weird, though. I mean, that guy with the whole America is the meat in the sandwich between the buns of Russia and Belarus, and we're being slathered with the condiment of Iran, and it's wiener-shaped. North Dakota suspends Paul Ralston. North Dakota suspended men's basketball play-by-play radio announcer Paul Ralston for two games after he used the phrase choke job following an overtime loss to Northern Arizona. The Grand Forks Herald reports that Ralston used the words during his interview with Coach Brian Jones after the team's 74-72 home loss Saturday. North Dakota led in the final minutes of regulation, but Northern Arizona rallied. So he said it was a choke job, huh? He's going to return to his play-by-play role on February 28th against Portland State. If any team suspended me for stuff like that, I think I would start... Well, no, I wouldn't. All right,
Yeah, no, you wouldn't is right. You're going to be a good boy.
All right, fine. World-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Hendry. For all of your Phil Hendry Show needs, don't forget philhendryshow.com. That is our website, and that's where you get all of the marvelous kind of stuff that we've got to offer you, including our live streaming video, which was just a beautiful picture tonight, man. I freaked out because I didn't think I was doing it right until until tonight at 10, 1 o'clock tomorrow morning on the East Coast. Let that be a lesson to you. Bye.
Bye, bye.
Phil Hendry.